Pushing the Limits, Changing the World Through Big Ideas by Eileen Bartholomew. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Eileen Bartholomew. From the editor, one of the most exciting presentations made by someone from outside the organization occurred when Eileen Bartholomew from the XPRIZE Foundation took the stage on Friday morning, July 10, 2015, to address our 75th convention. We often tell people that success is primarily about attitude, so it was interesting to hear the words of another organization that holds this view.
Welcome, and I'm so glad to be here. At XPRIZE, we like to say the day before something is a breakthrough, it's a crazy idea. And you know, the world needs a lot of crazy ideas. And never before has the world been poised to take individuals and empower them to make those crazy ideas the breakthroughs we need. And the reason behind that is because of exponential tools, business models, and a mindset that I know you all have in this room. And I'd like to share a little bit about what we think is possible in the coming years and decades ahead of us. But first, to do that, I want to talk about a big problem with all of us. And that's that we all are pretty linear in how we think about things. Our brain hasn't had an upgrade in about 50,000 years. And we kind of get up every morning and we think that tomorrow is going to be pretty much like it was yesterday. Only that's really not the case. And the brain that we have is limited in our ability to understand that. There's even a famous number called Dunbar's number, which is really the number of relationships that you can keep track of. And that's about 150. So for all of you who have more than 150 friends on Facebook, you really only know about 150 of them. But the world and technology is exponential and global. And to give you a sense of that, the world created more information in the time the last speaker of Google spoke than we really have in almost entire human history. That is exponential. And what does exponential feel like? Well, I'll give you a brief exercise to think about this. If you took 10 steps linearly, you'd go about 30 feet. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you took 10 steps exponentially, 1, 2, 4, 8, you'd be all the way to the moon and back. And technology grows exponentially. And it's really hard sometimes for us to know about that and to understand about that. And I want to give you an example of what exponential looks like. You all probably know Kodak, the famous photography company. In 2012, when it was about $26 billion, employing 100,000 people, it declared bankruptcy. A 100-year company gone, basically overnight. Its competitor, the same year, Instagram, the company that captures moments and images and memories all over the world, had an IPO and it was worth $1 billion and only employed 13 people. That is exponential change. Companies that craft, and Kodak was known for creating the digital camera, but it didn't take advantage of that and instantaneously was usurped overnight. That is exponential change and exponential technology's impact. And so as a result, the average lifespan of most companies today has gone from about 70 years in the 1920s to less than 15 today. What that means is that in 10 years, about half of the Fortune 500 companies we know today won't be around. And innovation isn't going to happen at the corporate level. It's going to happen individuals and with individuals. So why is this happening? I want to talk about some new amazing tools, that many of which you may have heard about, to help realize this future. And there's a little known important fact that's driving all of this, which is, of course, Moore's Law. The idea that every 18 months, the number and power of processing power can double. And we've all seen the benefits of this. That's why we're carrying around small phones and not ginormous contraptions. But the world is now going to see the impact of this. And what's going to be happening is going to take us an amazing turn. Today, we can process things at about the rate of a mouse brain. In about 10 more years, we'll be able to process information at the rate of a human brain. But in 10 more years after that, we will be able to process information at the rate of every human brain on this planet. And when that happens, brilliant new things will occur. So, what is this driving? We're seeing way cool advances in things like biotech, robotics, artificial intelligence, energy, medicine, changing what it means to be human every day. Companies like HLI, Human Longevity Institute, that's going to be taking every amount of medical data that exists and trying to find a cure for individuals, not for groups of people. Companies like Rethink Robotics that are making humanoid-like robots that have facial expressions and arms and legs that you don't have to program. You can simply train. You teach them to do things by showing them how to do it, just like you would teach a child, teach a friend. Things like synthetic meat. We may no longer have to actually grow meat. We will craft it in factories and breweries all around the world. Things like advances in healthcare. You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, the only product you had to actually help make your health and understand your health was a thermometer and a telephone to call your doctor. But now, we have millions of devices, Fitbits, iPhones, pulse oximeters, bringing healthcare to individuals. And that is going to be the patient of the future, not just the clinician of the future. Companies like Matternet that are taking drone technology and are able to craft the last mile of logistics in a space of just a few months' time. In other words, getting things to remote villages in Africa can now be the matter of delivery by drone, not by having to build roads and infrastructure to do this. And most importantly, things like 3D printing that are changing the way manufacturing happens, and even personalized development, cooking in your home. These are the tools and technologies that are driving changes, and they're pretty exciting, but they're only one part of the equation. The next real piece is the new type of business models that are happening because we are all connected online. So what does that mean? Well, right about now, there's about 25% of the planet that's connected to the internet. Only a quarter of the possible minds are actually connected online. But in the space of the next 5 or 6 years, that number is going to grow to about 70%. That equates to about 3 billion new minds coming online that have not had a voice in what we consume, create, desire, demand, legislate. And when those minds come on board, they're going to want to be engaged and connected in really amazing ways. And we're already starting to see that. We have new business models like crowdfunding, crowd labor, crowd knowledge that's taking problems before that used to have been solved by governments and now are solved by individuals. So you probably have all heard of something called Kickstarter. Kickstarter is democratizing the way companies, individuals, get access to capital and resources. Companies like Oculus Rift that develop the virtual reality goggles that are going to be really crafting the new virtual worlds of tomorrow, they set out to raise $200,000 on Kickstarter. They ended up raising $2.5 million. In the space of less than a year after that campaign, they were acquired by Facebook for over $2 billion. No longer will companies and individuals need to wait around for financial markets to invest in their ideas. Individuals can now ask other individuals to craft and give them the resources to make this happen. What about the future of work? There's a new model out in there called crowd labor, where individuals are asked to help participate in small tasks, something like a company called GigWalk, which is based out of San Francisco, that pays people anywhere from $1 to $10 to perform tasks that used to take staffs and staffs of researchers and companies. Things like, go and check and see if a product is at the end cap aisle of a local CVS, or test out this new application. And to date, almost $1 billion worth of gigs that before were the responsibilities of companies are now happening on a one-to-one basis. Individuals are now the new movers and shakers of the business economy. And what about creativity? A great story of only 2 years ago, where the Super Bowl ads, those ginormous, expensive, frustratingly difficult, and sometimes horribly uncomical ideas. Last year in 2013, the number 24 placed commercial, which by the way, was an advertisement for Speed Stick deodorant, was developed by a team of four people, not by a multi-year corporation, a big advertising agency, a $500 or even $5 million budget, but was done for $14,000 by a group of four kids. That's the new type of creativity and creation that's allowed, it's being allowed to happen because of the connective of these exponential tools and technologies. And even really hard challenges, things like finding Genghis Khan's tomb, which, by the way, we haven't been able to figure out that for about 800 years. We're closer than ever before because a famous National Geographic researcher realized that the research and archaeology community couldn't find the answer to this. He turned to the entire collective crowd, and almost 30,000 people helped him sift and sort through data to identify 50 new sites that had never before been determined. And they think they're pretty close in finding something that has eluded the experts for almost 1,000 years. These are the types of tools and technologies and business models that are changing what's possible. But those are only just the start. Because the third ingredient for making this new world possible is something that every one of us has. It's so simple and yet so hard, which is a new mindset. Most of the world looks at the world today and sees a lot of problems, sees things that feel like they can't be fixed. And trust me, every major media news network out there loves to talk about that. So whatever you call it, the CNN, the Constant Negative News Network, or whatever else it might be, they're always talking about how bad things are, how difficult things are, how it's harder than ever before to do that. And you know what's really funny is our brains, the one that hasn't had that upgrade in 50,000 years, we're actually wired to think and to pay attention to negative news. We're wired to pay attention to it almost 10 times. We've all experienced that, right? You pay attention to a negative comment much more often than you do to positive comments in your life. But an abundant mindset needs to be thought about today because these biggest problems that we talk about are actually the world's biggest business opportunities. 1 billion people on the planet can't take a drink of water without risking their life. That's a great business opportunity. How can we bring tools and technologies to make that not a reality? And in reality, the world isn't getting worse. It's getting better, and the data shows it. There was a recent article in The Economist talking about the end of poverty. In the last 20 years, the number of people who have lived on a dollar and a half a day, or below a dollar and a half a day, which is the international poverty line, has been cut by half. Access to things like connectivity, energy, water is happening, and it's happening through these tools and technology. Right now, your world is pretty darn safe. In primitive society, almost about 20% of people died because of some sort of violence. Today, that's down to 1/500 of what it used to be. We are safer than ever before. The world isn't worse off. It's way better off. And as a result, we need to think about these problems differently. And I want to tell a little story about an abundant mindset, something that I think really resonates with me and maybe something you take home with you as well. Back in the 1840s, when Napoleon III had a very important diplomatic event happening, the King of Siam was to visit him. And of course, the entire kingdom wanted to lay out its finery. So at the dinner where the King of Siam was to be greeted, Napoleon's staff was to eat off silverware. The king of Siam's staff was to eat off gold. But the king himself, was going to eat off aluminum plates. Aluminum plates. Because in 1840, aluminum, although very plentiful, was extremely rare in its purest form. In fact, it was so rare, it was reserved for the most royal royals. Today, because we've invented a simple system that separates aluminum from bauxite, which it naturally occurs in nature, we throw it away. Aluminum foil is a throwaway substance, something that in decades before was scarce, impossible, rich, is now available, plentiful, and in fact, throwawayable. The idea of changing your mindset about what is scarce versus what is abundance can really happen through simple technological breakthroughs. And it is that type of mindset that we have to bring to all the world's problems today. So what do you all think of scarcity in your life or in the world today? Something like diamonds? Well, diamonds are now being crafted in the lab for about $5 a carat. What about energy? A lot of people talk about lack of energy all around the world. More energy hits this planet every day in solar rays than we can use in a given year at our rate today. All we need to do is figure out how to tap into that solar power. And we're seeing these changes happen, right? Solar power's costs come down 50% last year. It's almost on parity with diesel generation. And when that happens, we will unlock a future of abundant energy that will free us from a lot of issues around environmental concerns, access to energy. It is a simple change we need to have, and that change is the mindset we bring to it. What about water? We know that water is not necessarily always available where it needs to be, but there are breakthroughs happening right now in osmotic technologies, in things like Dean Kamen's slingshot, where you can literally put a slingshot into a pool of anything that looks like water, and for about the voltage of a hairdryer and a few minutes' time, turn it out to completely drinkable water. Simple, simple things that are changing the mindset of what's possible. We think that again, the day before something is a breakthrough, it's a crazy idea. But we need to think exponentially, abundantly. We can't think linearly and statedly. At XPRIZE, we've crafted competitions to help try to change the mindset of what's possible. A great example is everybody knew in 1996, when we launched our first prize, that only governments go to space. But we didn't think that that was right, and we thought exponentially about what was possible. And in 2004, the first privately built spaceship went 100 kilometers up in the air. That is underpinning the Virgin Galactic technology that one day all of us may be able to buy a ticket to go to space. We ought to think exponentially, abundantly, to craft the future that we think we can create. And there are others around the world that are using prizes to help do that. And we think that's a great idea. One simple example, right now today, the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation says that there's about 7 million individuals that are paralyzed. And in 100 years, the only thing we've been able to develop is a wheelchair. We think that should change. And there's a lot of robotics companies around the world that think that should change too. So they're launching a Paralympics Olympic competition in the fall of next year to take formerly paralyzed individuals, strap prosthetics, bionics, and all sorts of great new advancements to try to change what we think of in terms of disability. That type of exponential and abundant thinking is what we need. So I would like to ask all of you in closing, where are you thinking linearly that you should be thinking exponentially? What do you think of as scarce that with a simple mindset could be looked at as abundantly? And where are you attempting crazy ideas? Thank you.
Thanks, Ali. Appreciate it.